I'm going to talk about a project that was initiated just recently as an offshoot of our lima bean breeding program. We reinitiated a breeding program at the University of Delaware in 1994 with my colleague Emily Ernest. Lima beans are a cornerstone crop of our processing industry in Delaware. In the mid-Atlantic, we're one of the major producers in the country, and we have a long-term, long-time program in doing research in lima beans. The issue is that we can grow more lima beans than we can sell, so what can we do to improve the potential for more markets? If you look, this is what we mainly are producing, green baby lima beans. That's 95% of, and our breeding program is centered around that. But are there other things that we can produce out of our breeding program as offshoots of the breeding program? That was my grand idea, is to go to Emily and say, don't throw away what you have that's different. I want to look at it. And, you know, why lima beans? As with all bean crops, very nutritious. Lima beans are a little different than most of the other bean crops in that we do harvest them at a succulent stage in our region. That gives them a different nutritional profile, particularly in the sugars. But we can also take them to a more mature stage. In California, they grow them as a dry bean. So what I wanted to do is to look at some of the fixed lines that Emily had bred bring in traits for our program. Particularly heat tolerance is a big one, and she has to use types that are not green. The green color is multi-loci. It takes a while to get a green seed coat into a lima bean. But so she wants to bring in these other traits, disease tolerance, heat tolerance. So we have a lot of these lines that aren't green. Do they have value? So here are some examples, some of the buff color with the highlighted hilum areas, what it looks like in a succulent stage. Some of the other ones, we're interested in white types also. We are also interested in the darker types. Jackson Wonder, there is a little bit of acreage of that. That's the brown one that you see up in the corner. We have some improved types of that. We have red types already in the program. Purple and green types. So you can see these are ones that have already been fixed and what they look like in a succulent stage. So we can take them a little further into where the seed coats mature and get that seed color more fixed, and I can show you some of that later on. So these are some of the types that Emily's been using to breed in heat tolerance. As you can see, they're not green. And so we have these as fixed lines. Do they have value? That was the whole part of our project. Would these be another potential crop for our growers to grow? Would they have consumer acceptance? So part of what we're doing is looking at these fixed lines from our breeding program for productivity, plant characteristics, harvest characteristics, disease. One of the big things is cyanide production. Lima beans can produce cyanide, so we want to make sure the ones that we offer don't have cyanide at levels that are compromising. And then what I've been focusing on is these processing characteristics and cooking characteristics. So here's an example of an heirloom that we've been using in our breeding program. You can see a beautiful dark red color. Looks kind of interesting, blanched, not so much cooked. But if you take it a little further to a mature stage, it'll turn a chocolate brown. So is that something a consumer would be interested in? Another part of our program is we have a diversity panel that's being used for genetic studies. So for phenotyping, we've been phenotyping for disease resistance, plant architecture. I decided to phenotype for cooking characteristics and processing characteristics. So we're adding that to this diversity panel, and we're really interested in non-bleeding types. If you ever got, if you cook a Jackson Wonder, it turns to a muddy brown color. Do you like eating muddy brown colored mush? No, it's not mush. It actually tastes very good. But it does, we want to see, do we have non-bleeding types? So we've been adding this cooking and taste to this diversity panel phenotyping. And so what we're doing is we're doing a number of measurements from that processing step. So we do a hydration, a blanching, then a cooking. And from that, we do force testing, that is how tough the bean is after cooking. And then leachate testing, which is that bleeding characteristic. And then we do an organoleptic rating, that's how does it taste. That's basically me. So this is an example of leachate intensity distribution of many of these lines. This is the dark red types. So do some of them not bleed? Yes, you can see all along the baseline you have a lot that aren't bleeding. So now we're going to take a look at those more closely. The same thing, we want a black bean, a black lima bean. There are black lima beans, so it'd be great to have a black bean out of our out of this crop. And you can see there are several selections, the 20, the 39, 164, that don't bleed. So again, now we have to look at some other characteristics to make sure that they are acceptable. So that's 34 is a non-bleeding type versus 39, which does bleed. So using this tree map, what we're really interested in this area here, these are dark red types. We're looking at a yellow bean. As you know, there's kind of controversy with yellow beans in the Phasios vulgaris. There are some patent issues. But we're looking to see if we can find a good bright yellow lima bean. And then we're really interested in these black types here. Some of the excluders and limiters, we want to make sure that these don't produce high levels of cyanide. We'd like to have them so they're not daylight sensitive because that makes breeding difficult. You have to put them under lights. Finding habit, if we can get dwarf types. Of course, we can change breed a bush type fairly quickly from a vining type. Of course, hard seed coats, long cooking, off-taste, and heavy bleeding. Then we're going to do some associations, looking at region of origin. Beans have a Mesoamerican and an Andean origins. Color, growth habit, bleeding I'm very interested in, seed coat, and cooking time. We're also doing this consumer testing of existing lines. So all these fixed lines that we've already showed you, we have 12 lines that we've started doing consumer tasting, both in it, from a dry stage and from a succulent stage. We're part of the way through that. This is the type of rating that we have been doing with overall appearance, color, overall taste, texture, and then specific taste attributes. We're interested in buttery and nutty. Those are two things we'd love to have in the lima bean. We don't want a metallic or bitter, those types of taste. So this is an example of a taste testing we did with some of my colleagues back over the winter. These are what they look like cooked. And we had two from dry and the rest from succulent stage. And we identified several that this one had both acceptance in all attributes. These two had good acceptance as far as taste, not as much as far as appearance. So, as a taster quote for this one particular here, I don't like lima beans, but I do like number five and would eat it. That's what we would like. So, with that, again, I'm not a breeder. I'm a horticulturist working with our breeder. Can we get more value? Can we get people eating more lima beans? What can we develop, especially lima beans, from these offshoots of our breeding program? And you can see our partners there. We have funding through our Delaware Department of Agriculture. That's Emily Ernest, our lima bean breeder, and our departments that I work with. Any questions? Yes.
So, are people accustomed to eating the lima bean fresh, or when they buy it in a can, is it a dry lima bean that's been rehydrated?
Yeah. Question was, how much? What do you get in a can at a supermarket? Does it come from succulent, or does it come from dry? All depends. Okay. A lot of them are coming from succulent. So the canning is actually more of the second quality that goes into canning. But you also do get some from dry, depending upon, you know, you can go on a shelf and you can buy dry lima beans, and then sometimes those are reconstituted. Like if you get a butter bean, that's almost always a reconstituted type.
And can you tell the difference between the fresh and the reconstituted?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. So the question was, first question dealt with, you know, if you're buying in a supermarket, does it come from fresh succulent or does it come from a dry stage? And it's both mostly succulent. Second question was, can you tell the difference from a succulent versus a dry? Yeah. In a dry stage, even a green one will turn more whitish. So if you reconstitute it, it does turn back green a little bit, but not completely. And actually, when we do harvest lima beans, we harvest them at about a 10% dry stage. So and those dries are always reconstituted, and they usually go for canning. Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what we're producing now. Okay, the question is about green cotyledons.
So you can harvest it dry and then
right.
It very
green. Yeah. And that's part of what we're testing with this diversity panel. You know, what does it look like after we reconstitute it? And generally, lima beans, a lot of them they do have a green cotyledon, and even though they look whitish when you dry them, they'll go back green. So we already have that characteristic.
What about the outside?
Yeah, we have the two, you know, the outside plus the inner one. Yeah, we have some that are translucent the outside and green underneath, and some that are green and green. So. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and that same thing with lima beans. We have a really good line right now that could be commercialized, but it has a translucent outer and green inner, so it looks a little less green, and our processors don't quite. They want green, so. But yeah, good questions.